sound like there are some people in here who believe that he's not dead. Amen. Amen. He's not dead. He's very much alive and well. I want to thank God for this opportunity to be in his house and in his service one more time. And to know without a shadow of a doubt that I have a relationship with God. Because his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Amen. And I'm going to thank Strong Tower for coming out strong on Friday night for the Good Friday service. That was a wonderful evening. We can give God praise. Yes, it was a wonderful night. Our friends from Koinonia Fellowship joined us. And Pastor Edmondson and I are already talking about next year. You know something is good that as soon as it's over, you're talking about next year. Because as Pastor Jewel closed out the service, singing, addressing the cross, there was a black cloth on that cross signifying death. But this morning, I said this morning, that black cloth is gone. There's a white cloth there signifying life. He is not dead. Amen. And then on this past Monday, one of our beloved members went through a grueling examination. He was being tested in his doctoral thesis and dissertation to make sure that all of his work had been done. And that brother passed that test with flying colors at Vanderbilt University. I haven't even told you who it is yet. Xavier Bledsoe, Dr. Xavier Bledsoe, would you stand? Stand up, doctor! Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless you, man of God. Amen. Praise God. Now, a lot of churches, when they launch, they start a new church. A lot of them get started on Easter Sunday because they believe that's a good time where people would come to church and maybe even join in with a new church plant. Well, we are not a new church plant, but we'd like for you to join in to what God is doing here at Strong Tower. So next Sunday after church, we're going to have a pre-membership lunch, and we'd love it if you would come and join us next Sunday after church. If you have questions about the ministry, if you want to learn, some of you already know that this is your church. Come on, but you got to register for us so we can make sure we have enough food for you. My wife, the pastor of Belonging, wants to make sure that you feel like you belong here. So next Sunday, if you do not have a church home and you are a follower of Jesus, stop by next Sunday with us and we'll be glad to have you. And then also, next Sunday, we're going to do something at Strong Tower coming out of Resurrection Morn today. Next week, we're going to have a prayer for healing service next Sunday. Quite a few of our members have been going through various kinds of sicknesses. And so we want to make sure, yes, we pray, yes, we pray. Prayer requests go out, the intercession team prays, the elders pray, the staff pray, but you can't ever pray enough. And so next Sunday, the bulk of the service is going to be where we are praying over each other and on each other, laying hands on each other. So don't be afraid, it better not be empty here next Sunday. No? You can pray. So there'll be times in the service where we're going to pray for families. We're going to pray for children. We're going to pray for finances. We're going to pray for health. We're going to pray for salvation for family and friends. So it's going to be a time of prayer and healing. Mother Walker has been up and down, but from what I'm told, she's up right now and healing at home. And Mother Vi, we're still praying for her. She is well, All of her tests have come back revealing that she has no cancer. No cancer. No cancer. But you got to pray for her to eat. She got to get her strength back. She's got to eat. So pray that Mother Vi would eat. And then as I was coming in this morning, I got a text from Sister Lasagna that Jonathan Boulding, one of our singers this morning, went into a seizure this morning. And so he's never had a seizure before in his life. But thank God for basically his mother, Dr. Jewel, and for Karen, who were here, people with medical knowledge and expertise, were able to minister to him, sit him up, and he was able to become coherent. The ambulance came and took him to the hospital, and Brother Terrence Gibson is with him, and the report we got coming out is that he is doing fine. He is doing fine. Amen. Because Jesus is not dead. He's very much alive. And so we're going to be praying next week. Because there are different kinds of sicknesses besides physical, emotional, mental. And so we're going to pray as a church next week. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, and I know you do, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And as the Lord allows, at the end of this message, I'm going to extend an invitation. We're going to go old school. So if you would like to join this church, come shake my hand up front. If you know you're going to join this church, come shake my hand up front. If you would like to have a relationship with Jesus, come shake my hand up front. We're going to go old school this morning. Is that all right? Yes, amen. And then the choir is going to come back and they're going to sing as we go out, talking about Jesus my King. We're going back into that. All right? Amen. What a great way to go out into the world to let people know that Jesus is Lord. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. If you have it, can you say amen? Amen. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. So with your prayers and the help of the Holy Ghost, let's talk today on the subject of whatever you do, keep moving. Whatever you do, keep moving. Let's pray. Father God, if you give me the strength, I'll preach for you. Allergies can't stop what your spirit wants to do. Distractions can't stop your heart to touch and teach your people. I'm so glad you use broken instruments to play your melody of love through. Use me, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit that I may preach the gospel. I pray for your people who are witnesses of Jesus, who are believers in Christ, that we might be encouraged today because the word of God is being expounded upon. And for anyone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, might today be the day where they receive the indescribable gift of eternal life. Today, Lord, save the lost. Those who are here, those who are watching, those in our families when we leave, because I'm not the only preacher in the building. Everyone who knows you is a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus. If we do nothing but share our testimony, Lord, we are sharing the hope of Christ in a hopeless world. Lord God, we thank you. Touch your people now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Many of you know my mother-in-law, Doris McFarland. And Doris McFarland has had a bad knee for a long time. And she wears a bandage on it. She walks slower now so that when she and her husband, my pastor, Dr. Alan McFarland, go for a walk together, she yells at him, telling him to slow down because she can't quite keep up because she has a bad knee. Now, the thing about this knee is that she knows how to milk it as well. Because when they go to the airport, she will request a personal assistant to put her into one of them big chairs with wheels on it and roll her through the airport all the way up to the door. And when she gets off the plane, she's waiting for them to come get her and roll her. And then she gets out and walks straight to the car. I mean, she enjoys the attention that she gets from having a bad knee. But it's gotten so bad now where they have told her, we're going to have to do surgery on your knee. So in just a couple of weeks, my mother-in-law is going to go under the knife and she's going to have replacement knee surgery. Has anyone in here ever gone through anything like that where you've had your knee replaced? Oh, yeah. And her daughters, Alina and Darina, Martina and Regina, are all going to go and spend some time with Mama Mac as she rehabs. But what they're already telling her is that after the surgery, it is incumbent upon her to move immediately into physical therapy. And they're even saying to her that the therapy is going to hurt more than the surgery. Because with the surgery, you're knocked out. But when you come out of that thing, they're going to get you up as soon as possible because the goal is to have movement. Most patients feel like they shouldn't move because of the pain. But no, because of the pain, you have to move because you have a thing in your knee called scar tissue. And the movement and the calisthenics and the things that they're going to have you do are designed to break up the scar tissue that you won't experience a thing called muscle atrophy. Muscle atrophy is when your muscles just lay still for so long that they lose their density, they lose their strength, and the surgery that was meant to help can hinder you going forward if you don't work the muscles around the knee. You don't want to go into muscle atrophy because your muscles will degenerate. And the process is painful in physical therapy, but it is productive. But a lot of people stop the process because of the pain, and they don't end up having productivity. Well, I stopped by today to say that if we don't move for God, our spiritual vitality will decline and degenerate. We will go into spiritual atrophy. Now, I'm not talking about a movement that is just mere religious activity, because you got a lot of people who claim to know God doing a whole lot of religious things, but they're mean as a snake, look like they've been baptized in lemon juice, and they're moving, they're busy for God, but there's something missing, the intimacy, the love. I'm talking about the fact that we are moving because we're motivated by the love for the master that we have. We're moving because we love him and he loves us. And when it comes to moving, being busy for Jesus in the right way, the women of the resurrection show us how to move. They show us how to move for God. But for the anti-DEI pastors out here, for the pastors around the country today who don't believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion, they're going to have a hard time preaching about the resurrection this morning because, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, the main beneficiaries and benefactors of DEI happen to be women. Not so much minorities, not so much those who have disabilities, not so much even veterans, but women who can fit in all of those categories are the primary benefactors of DEI in this country. White women, might I add. So for the anti-DEI pastors, you're going to have a hard time preaching the resurrection story this morning because after Jesus Christ, women are highlighted in this story more than men. I wish I had some help this morning. If you read it right, it's more about God using the women than the men. So stay with me today. These women move. There are at least three things I got to give you today from these women, how they can teach us about moving for Jesus. The first thing I want you to see from Luke's gospel is that the women moved in community. Yeah, the women moved in community. Luke chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week," that being Yom Rishon for the Hebrew people, and Sunday for us, the first day of the week, Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. I like how it says they. That's a plural pronoun. And certain other women came to the tomb. Well, if I back up to chapter 23, verse 55 and 56, it lets me know what's going on in chapter 24. So in Luke 23, this is the day that Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible says, "And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid." Because remember, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus that they may give him a burial, proper burial. Pilate granted them their wish. And so the women observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And because the Sabbath was coming, they hastily wrapped the body of Jesus in white linen cloths. Verse 56 says, "Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath," which was Saturday, "according to the commandment." What's going on here? Joseph and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus down, put it in a borrowed tomb. The women are looking, seeing where they laid them, and they're seeing how they did it, because the ladies are like, "They ain't do that body right. They ain't do that body right." So they're going to come back and fix it. See, we grew up in a culture where when you find out someone's passed away, you're like, "Oh man, I'm so sorry. Then a lot of times the next question is, "Who's doing the body? Who's doing the body?" We want to know, you know, they're going to look like themselves. So the ladies are looking like, "Oh, no. We go prepare your stuff. They didn't do it right. That's just like a sister, ain't it? I'm going to do it right here." And so these women are together. They're not rolling in a clique. They're rolling in community together. And one scheme of the enemy is to get believers in isolation and operating on a lonely island. Because the enemy knows if I can isolate you from a group, from community, the enemy knows that I can pounce on you. There was a nature show the other day on television, and I marveled because there was a group of lions, a pack of lions, and they were bullying a bison. And I was like, oh, man, it's over. It's over. The bison is not going to make it. And even though it has some horns, it was outnumbered. So when it tried to put horns on one, they were coming on the back, and he just couldn't shake them off. And I said, oh, man, it's not good for this bison right here. And then all of a sudden, the bisons from the hood showed up. And when they showed up, they started coming at the lions and rescuing their homeboy. And there was a fight that was going on, and them bisons were too big for the lions, and the lions eventually ran away. You see, smart animals move in packs. But what about dumb Christians? We don't believe in community. We don't need community. Oh, no, you're going to need community at some point. But be in community now. Not just for how you will benefit, but how others can benefit from your gifts and from your love. Well, where these ladies come from, y'all? Well, Luke chapter 8 lets us know something about these ladies here. So if I stay in Luke's gospel and I go back to chapter 8, I learn a little bit about where these ladies came from and who they are. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others that were with Jesus. But watch this, who provided for him from their substance. So one of the reasons Jesus could be an itinerant minister and have 12 guys with him is because there were some ladies who were not only following him as his disciples, but they were also women who had some money in their pockets, some business women who provided for his substance. They put their money where their hearts were, and they gave to help Jesus so he could stay moving in the ministry. They didn't have to worry about how they were going to eat, because these women were taking care of the Lord. So these women, they moved in community early in the ministry of Jesus, and you see them at the tomb. Not only do you see them at the tomb, but they are at the cross as well. Jesus said, tonight the shepherd is going to be taken away, and all of the sheep will scatter. Well, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, guess who ran? All of the men. And when Jesus had to go to Calvary, it was women there on the Via Dolorosa, which is the way of suffering. So as he is walking, carrying his cross before Simon from Cyrene from Africa can help him with the weight of the cross because he had been beaten so badly, it was the women he stopped and talked to on the way to the cross. And then when he gets to the cross, the women are at the cross. And then John the apostle says, man, I need to go back. And he goes back to the cross. But before he got there, it was women there. Shame on us for not believing that. Matter of fact, we wouldn't even have a church if it wasn't for women. Women are the backbone of the church. Women are many times the hardest workers in the church. And they moved in community. I just want to know, who do you move with? Who moves with you? Or are you still trying to move by yourself? Secondly, the women moved not knowing how their problems would be solved. Yeah, they did. They moved, Strong Tower, not knowing how their problems would be solved. Pastor, what you talking about? Let's go back to verse 2. It says, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. What's going on here, Pastor? Well, this is where I have to read the other gospels to get a fuller picture of what's going on. So if I go back to Mark chapter 16, I'll start at verse 2. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, this is the women, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? You see that? They're wondering, who's going to move this stone away from the tomb for us? They had a problem. Not only did they have a problem with the tomb and the stone over the tomb, they also had a problem in the form of the temple police, who were also at the tomb, placed there by the Pharisees to guard the tomb, if you will. And so they would have to, in order to anoint the body of Jesus, they would have to deal with the police, and they would have to deal with the stone in front of the tomb. But don't miss this. They went on the way to the tomb asking each other, who's going to help us with the stone? In other words, there was a problem, an obstacle there. But it didn't stop them from moving to the tomb. What a lot of us do is when there's a problem, we don't move. Or as Proverbs says, when there's a lion in the street, you stay in the house. And you use the lion as an excuse to not move. But these sisters said, we going, even though we don't know how this problem is going to be solved. And isn't that a woman for you? They going to figure stuff out. Mother necessity, where would we be? You know how it was when your TV broke in your house? Your mother said, put some aluminum foil on that antenna right there. The knob fell off. Mama handed you some pliers. Mama, no! She know how to make lemonade without lemons. I mean, she is bad like that. And so these women went to the tomb not knowing how to solve that problem, but they went anyway. Some problems in our lives won't move until we move. Some problems not going to go away until we become assertive and move towards the problem. You say, Pastor, I need some evidence of this. Well, Israel had just come out of bondage. They had been there for 400 years. And finally, they come out through the leadership of Moses and all the plagues and the signs and the death angel. And then they're marching out. And as they're marching out, they're so excited to see God deliver them. But then they came up to the Red Sea, and then they looked back and they saw Pharaoh's army chasing behind them. So their celebration went to fearfulness, and they looked to Moses, and Moses said, God, what should I do? And God said to Moses, tell the people to go forward. In other words, y'all keep marching towards the Red Sea. God did not say, I'll part it, and then you march. No, God says, start marching, and then I'll part it. And not only will I part it, I'll make the bed of that sea dry for your feet as you walk over it. But you got to start walking towards the problem before God sends a hydraulic system from heaven to open that thing up. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But we want God to do it before we move. And God is saying, you move and then I'll do it. You need another one? Joshua's generation. They're trying to go into the promised land. But the Jordan River is at flood stage. And God says, tell the priest who's carrying the Ark of the Covenant, put their feet in the river. And once you put your feet in the river, the water will part in the Jordan River. So that generation can understand what I did for the previous generation, because I'm the God of all generations. What I did back then, I can do right now. So Joshua needs to see my power with a body of water. The Bible says that when they put their feet in that water, man, that water stood up, the Bible says. And then the Bible says that the bed of the river was also dry for Joshua's generation. And they were able to walk through the same way their ancestors. But they had to put their feet in it first. But then the walls of Jericho. God says, I've given you this land, but there's going to be some resistance and opposition. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the battle plan. March around the city one day, seven times for 7 days. Then on the last day, march around it a few times. And then don't push on the walls. Give a great shout and blow trumpets. Then I'll knock the wall down. I would sit there saying, is there a plan B up in here? Really? But if you got a history with God of doing some crazy stuff, some miraculous stuff, it's like, okay, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but I'm going to take him at his word. This is what he said, and he's going to do it. They did it, and guess what happened? The walls came a tumbling down. Somebody said, all right, Pastor, that's Old Testament. You got any New Testament about this principle, about you got to move towards the problem? Yeah. Some things ain't going to happen till you move. Peter is in jail, Acts chapter 12, sleep between two guards and two are at the door. He's asleep. An angel comes into the prison, shines a light. Boy, still don't wake up. The angel has to hit him on the side. He wakes up. The angel says, get up. When he stands up, the chains fall off. When he stands up, the chain. So some of us want the chains off, but we won't move. We won't do anything. We won't stand up in the name of Jesus. We want the chains moved. We're so lazy in our spiritual walk. God do everything. I'll do what you can't do, but you do what you're supposed to do. Stand up, and I'll take them chains off of you. Yeah, it's real. Oh, man. You got to move sometime when you don't even know how you're going to solve the problem. Like a lot of kids, I didn't have money to go to college. And the schools that were recruiting me didn't offer a lot of money. And I said, man, I don't know about that. But my father, he's like, son, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But you need to go to Liberty University. You're not going to tell me what to do. You just told me what to do. And I said, Dad, they haven't recruited me. They're not offering me any money. This man says to me, I'm a new Christian. He says to me, trust God. I didn't know what that meant, but I stepped out and I did what my father said. Let me try out for the football team. I can earn a scholarship because I can do that. They didn't recruit me, but man, I got out there, broke my leg 2 weeks into practice. That's when my prayer life started. Yeah, man. I'm away from home, away from mama. Don't have any money. I'm lying in the hospital, leg broken, never broke a bone in my body, and now I'm talking to God. I'm walking around campus on crutches with a big old cast on my leg covering down to my ankle. They had to screw my bone back together, and I'm going up all these stairs, and I'm struggling, and then it's time for check-in and registration. And then I got to sign up for them, Fannie Mae, Mother Mae, Lord help me, May. I had to put my name on the line, and this is not how I thought. But over time, your boy got a partial scholarship. God, because I was doing ministry in the street, and I was rapping. Really, I was preaching, but I was doing it through rap, because last thing I wanted to do was be a preacher, but I liked this rap thing. So one of the vice principals, presidents, saw me doing that, and offered me a scholarship. And then the president of the university ended up seeing what I was doing, and he said, I'm going to give you a scholarship for as long as you want to go to school here, not just undergrad, but if you want to go to seminary, the president said, I'll pay for it. Now, I went to the college not knowing how I was going to make ends meet, but because I moved, God met me there, and I thank God that I moved. Y'all remember several years ago, we were at the Cool Springs YMCA. And we had been there for about a year, and we were having two services, man, in that small little gym. But that's where we were. And then one day the Y came to us and said, Pastor Chris, we regret to inform you that we have found mold in the men's locker room. Who was there for that? Who? Anybody remember some of that? Uh-huh. Taking you back. And they said, you've got 30 days to get out of here for at least a minimum of 90 days. So y'all got to leave, and you got to stay away for at least 90 days. So we go out looking all over Franklin, looking for places. We went to 16 different locations. Couldn't find anything. And I never heard from God that Strong Tower was over. And I'm like, that would be a bad testimony of God. Why y'all church in? Because we couldn't find a building? No, that ain't good. That ain't good. So I had the church pray. I had the church fast. I had the church begin to take up a special offering. And then all of a sudden, while we're praying, and I had a vision I put before the church called MOVE, M-O-V-E, make our vision expand. So we were all in this thing together. I didn't have any answers. I didn't come down from the mountaintop with the word from God. We were in it together saying, God, we are your people. We need a place to gather and commune. Couldn't find one. Then all of a sudden, in the midst of all the prayer services and everything we were doing, one of our members back then, short little brother named Scott Hamilton, got a couple of gold medals to his name from the Olympics. He said, Pastor Chris, I know of a building. I said, do tell, you know of a building? And he said, yeah, but it's in Nashville. And I said, okay. Now, at that time, I'm not thinking about moving to Nashville because I'm in Franklin. But because I like Scott and he had a couple of gold medals, I said, I'll go down and look at the building. So myself and some of the leaders came down, and this building was empty. And we walked in these doors. As soon as we walked in, the Spirit said, this is it. It felt like home. And so God provided for us because we started moving, even though we didn't know how he was going to fix the problem. And then we went from renting just for a short amount of time to leasing to own this thing. And guess what? We own this place. Now, we're paying on it, the bank still, but we own this place now. When I played football before I got hurt, I also played cornerback. I know Bernard Pollitt never likes me talking about football. He thinks he's the only person in the world that can play football. But Bernard, I did play football, sucker. And I used to play cornerback as well. I was a running back and a cornerback. And I remember we were playing a team, and I got roasted by the wide receiver. Because the wide receiver ran something I had never seen before back then in the 80s, 85, 86. It was called a timing route. And so a timing route is when the wide receiver is running and makes a cut and the ball is already on the way before the wide receiver makes the cut. I grew up playing football when the person is open, then you throw it. But on a timing route, they throw it before you get open. And it's hard to defend. And the runner, the wide receiver, has to believe that the ball is going to join that person at the right place. They got to believe by faith it's going to be there. And it's hard to defend that kind of play because, man, it's a timing route. And for a lot of us, God has us on a timing route. But we don't want to run the play, though, because we want to see him throw the ball to us. He's like, no, it's in the air. But you got to run the route. And you got to believe that it's coming. You got to move, man. You got to move. You got to move. Faith is believing, as Dr. Evans says, that it is so, even when it's not so, simply because God said so. And if all you can do is get dressed and show up, that's enough for God. Just get dressed and show up and watch God show out. Oh, these women teach us about movement. Thirdly and finally, the women moved towards Jesus, even though they thought he was dead. Get this now, don't miss this. They were moving towards Jesus, even though they thought he was dead. Why were they going to the tomb? To anoint his dead body. They weren't looking for a living Jesus. They were looking for a dead Jesus. And it wasn't until the angel said, why are you looking for the living? Because he's alive amongst the dead. At cemeteries, dead people hang out here. So let me tell you, he's not dead. He is alive. But they went up in there looking for the dead body of Jesus. Luke 24, beginning at verse 4. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed that his body wasn't there. That behold, two men, which are angels, stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Here it is right here, Strong Tower. The angel said, remember. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Then verse 9 says, and they remembered his words. We can listen to Jesus a whole lot. We can listen to a whole lot of sermons and forget what we've heard. We can read books and devotionals and forget what we've read. So the angels are saying to them, he is alive. Don't you remember what he said? Now, obviously, they remembered him saying, I'm going to be handed over into the hands of sinful men. I'm going to be crucified, killed. They heard that part, but they didn't hear the other part that on the third day I'm going to rise. Oh, they heard it, but they didn't hear it. They didn't have ears to hear that part. And isn't it something that we have a tendency for believing bad news quicker than we believe good news? The bad news is they're going to arrest him. He's going to be crucified. We heard that part, but we didn't hear him say, I'm going to rise again. And why is it that we as Christians can hold on to what's negative and not grasp a hold of what's positive? They said, remember what he said. And then the Bible says, and they remembered. Then verse 9 says, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. So once they got some memory, they started moving again. But they were coming to the tomb looking for a dead Jesus, but they ended up realizing that he is alive. Now let me tell y'all something. The Lord is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You can criticize the ladies that they came to the tomb looking for a dead Jesus, but I'll give them more credit than the dudes who were sitting in the house afraid of the Jews. They sat there believing that Jesus was dead. At least the ladies were moving towards the tomb believing he was dead, but the brothers were sitting at the house believing he's dead. I'd rather be moving than sitting around doing nothing. And because they were moving towards a dead Jesus, or so they thought, the living Jesus met them. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Pastor, why are you saying that? Because some of us believe, well, we're in a relationship with God where we think he's dead. We think he's not there. And so we don't want to move towards him. But if you move towards him, I promise you, he'll meet you just like he met these ladies in Matthew chapter 28. Verses 8 through 9. It says, so they went out quickly from the tomb. The angels had said, he's not here. They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. They went there looking for a dead Jesus. The angels said, he's alive. And they ran to bring the disciples word. Then verse 9. And as they went, because they were moving, to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. The Lord is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. They went there looking for a dead Jesus, got a word from the angel saying, remember what he said. They left, and on the way they got a bonus, and Jesus met them there. And because these ladies moved, the women became the first people on planet Earth to see the resurrected Jesus. Because they moved, they were the first to touch the resurrected Jesus. What were they touching? His feet. So they were the first to touch and worship the resurrected Jesus. Not men, but women. And then not only that, they were the first to proclaim or preach that Jesus was in fact alive. And they didn't have to listen to an angel solely, but they met the Son of God himself. Imagine had they not moved, they would not have had this momentous experience. Well, in conclusion, the women of the resurrection show us how to move. They moved in community. They moved not knowing how their problems would be solved. They moved towards Jesus, even though they thought he was dead, and Jesus moved towards them and proved he was alive. We got a lot to learn from these sisters. Well, as the choir comes back, let me see if I can say this right. Y'all hold on for a second. Anyone who knows me, you know that I'm a comic book fan. I collect Marvel comic books. And I've got probably 13, 14,000 Marvel comic books in my house. But I got a couple of DC comics on the side. DC is where we get Wonder Woman and Batman and Superman. So out of respect, I got a couple of them. But I'm Marvel. Ain't that right, brother? I'm all Marvel, all Marvel. Marvel makes better movies than DC. DC makes better cartoons than Marvel. But I watched a movie that DC made and it wasn't bad. And it was called Batman versus Superman. And in this movie, Batman and Superman are fighting each other. And Batman, totally unbelievable, has the audacity to win the fight against Superman. I'm like, nah. But then the fight between them is interrupted because Doomsday comes, because Lex Luthor found this dead person from Superman's hometown, put some blood in there, and this dude came to life and ended up becoming Doomsday. And Doomsday is fighting Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. I don't even know where she came from, but she showed up at the end of the movie. And Doomsday ends up killing Superman before they can get rid of Doomsday. He kills Superman as he's dying. So, any of y'all seen that phony movie? Yeah, Batman versus Superman. And so then they have the funeral for Superman. And people from all over the world are crying, and they take him back to Smallville and bury him there on his parents' property, the farm, and all that stuff. And then the people, the mourners, leave the cemetery. And then as the gets to the end, right before the credits roll, they show Superman's casket in the ground. And they had put dirt on the casket. And people are sad. Superman is dead. And right before the credits roll, they're showing the casket. And there's dirt on the casket. And then slowly, the dirt starts to move. And when the dirt moves, man, it goes into the credits. It's over. And so if you are a DC fan, you leave the movie with a little bit of hope because you saw some dirt move. You say, oh, maybe he's going to come back in part 3 and part 4 because I saw some dirt move. Well, before the choir takes us home, I ain't talking about no dirt moving. I'm talking about a body that was moving. You see, the only reason we can move is because Jesus moved 2,000 years ago. Let me say it again. The only reason we can move is because he moved 2,000 years ago. If he didn't move, we are still in our sins. We are lost and we are miserable. But since he did move, we can have joy unspeakable because the same spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead is alive in us. So I can bear witness that he's alive because he made me alive. I'm not the same person I used to be. So I'm a witness that Jesus is alive. Even though I haven't seen him with my eyes, I felt him in my heart. And because Jesus moved, we can move just like that. Because he moved, no Ludacris fans, we can move just like that. That's why Acts 17, 28 says, for it's in him that we live and what? Y'all ain't with me. It's because of him that we live and move. It's because of him that we live and move. So since he moved, I can move. And since he moved, you can move. Don't let those ladies at the tomb be the only ones that's moving. It's time to get up and start moving for Jesus. And because he moved, I can step back and say, Lord, I like the way you move. Lord, I like the way you move. And since you're moving, now I can move. Thank you, Jesus, for being alive, because now you're alive in me. I'm a witness. I can testify. Forget the dirt. His body moved. And he's moving on this dirt right here, moving in me and through me and for me and with me, because he's alive. The greatest witness to a lost world is people who have experienced the resurrected Jesus. And we're moving different. You ever heard somebody say, man, you sure been moving different lately? Yeah, I moved different because I met somebody who made me different. So I'm moving a little different now. Because that's my King. But as they prepare, if you need a church home, come meet me. Everybody get on your feet. I'm going to be up here as they're singing. Come shake my hand, say, Pastor, I think this is it. Well, you know it's it. Some of y'all just waiting for the formality of the lunch next week. Come shake my hand, encourage the preacher. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you want to know him, come shake my hand and say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. If you need to rededicate your life because you moved away from Christ, come on up here, shake my hand and say, Pastor, I'm coming back. I'm moving back towards you. Father, have your way. Sing why. I'll dismiss you in a moment. But if you need to move, no spectators here, only participants. Come on. We were shouting earlier. Let's shout again. But some of y'all need to move and we'll really shout then. Come meet me. You need a church home. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate. You can pray. Come on.